I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
I'm going to give the audience what I think they want.
They want chase scenes and car crashes.
They want the cops to bend the rules to get the job done. They want the boy to get the girl. They want the good guy to win. They want the bad guy to die, hopefully in the biggest explosion the budget will allow. But most importantly, Senator, they want to walk into a theater and for 90 minutes forget the fucking mess that you have left of this nation.
Go get your bubblegum.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Hello, and welcome back to the All Out of Bubblegum podcast. Today, me, Marty, am joined by Brandon, and Alberto is back. Hello, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
How you doing? Yeah, I'm doing fine. Fine, thank you.
All right, that's good.
Today, we're going to be talking about Dominique Vandenberg. Had you guys ever heard of this guy before?
No.
Were you familiar with his work at all?
No.
A little bit. You know, mostly through some videos and the fact that he's in the industry, in the action industry, and, you know, I mean, he's not, like, big, but if you're, like, watching a direct-to-video action film and you're, like, really on that sort of wavelength, I think you'll eventually see him in a movie.
Yeah, I think I had the same thing. Like, if you watch enough action movies, you're gonna watch one that he's in. Or enough David Lynch movies, rest in peace.
This is our yes. David Lynch rest in peace episode, by the way.
Yeah. By the way, we could not find him in Inland Empire. No. I am so sorry, people.
It's all right.
No, we didn't re-watch the movie for the episode.
We should have.
We tried looking at clips and whatnot, and no luck.
It petered out.
Yeah. No, Dominique is probably the second most famous best action actor from Belgium. Obviously, after
Audrey Hepburn.
Exactly. And yeah, he works a lot with Jesse Johnson. Like, as you mentioned, Alberto, if you watch enough, like, good action movies, you're gonna watch Jesse Johnson movies, and by extension, Dominique Vandenberg movies.
Yeah, he, as I have discovered through intense research, he is essentially Jesse V. Johnson's muse.
Oh.
I mean, I used to think it was Scott Adkins, but no, it's him. It's always been him.
Yes. Though I will say I love Jesse's work with Scott Adkins.
Oh yeah, I fucking love Avengement. Oh my god, that's the only one I've seen, but I love it.
You didn't even see Triple Threat or The Debt Collector?
I didn't. I do have to see Triple Threat since it's a part of the top 250.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, 250. Yeah.
It's on the ballot.
I got a little turned off by the reviews because people were like, "Oh my god, the writing sucks." And they waste all these actors. But I don't know. It looks kind of good, though.
Yeah, I liked it. No, yeah, Jesse Johnson said, even if I'm not working with Dominique, he's still in the movie because I base most of my characters on him.
Really? Oh, man, that's interesting.
Yeah, and seeing how a lot of Jesse's movies feature some sort of ex-military guy, that sort of makes sense.
Extra points for Foreign Legion.
Yeah.
Yeah, French Foreign Legion.
Yeah. I have a question. I have not seen that many Jesse V. Johnson films, but like in all these Vandenberg films I've watched, there's always this like Roman Catholic element to them. Is that something that carries over into Jesse V. Johnson's other films, or is that more of a Vandenberg thing?
I think that's mostly a Vandenberg thing.
Okay, just wondering.
Yeah. No, but Alberto, you watched the documentary on Dominique Vandenberg, didn't you?
Yes, I did. It's called March with the Devil from 2014. And it was the last film that erotic softcore porn king Zalman King directed before he died.
Well, he was a king and his name was King.
Yep. It was, you know, best known for Two Moon Junction in the Red Shoe Diaries.
Oh, nice.
But this is in fact not a porno starring Dominique Vandenberg.
That would be something, though, if your documentary biography movie would be a porno. That would be some light.
That would be interesting. But no, this it's a bit somber. It's pretty dour. I mean, he talks about like his time in the French Foreign Legion and his early life, and it's like he's been through it. I guess I should just, you know, like, dive right in and describe.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, because it's going to lead into, I guess, should we do it in order?
Yeah, mostly. But I think there's going to be some overlap between Pit Fighter and the Mercenary, so maybe.
Yeah. I think we'll just do overlap eventually when we get to that bridge. But yeah, he was born. Basically, he almost died. Him and his mom almost his mom almost died giving birth to him, and he almost died at, at birth. And he ended up having like brain fluid in his head. I think that's like a...
But that's where it's supposed to be, right?
Well, I mean, there was like water. Yeah, water was in his brain, yeah. And they said, yeah, he's going to be slow. And ends up, at age 4, he's like, actually, the exact opposite. He ends up being like very energetic, and they're like, I don't know, maybe we should put him on Ritalin. And then in the documentary, he's like, all these parents, they're putting their kids on the Ritalin and slowing them down. And instead, they got me into sports. And he was like, my brother, he was in martial arts. He was learning judo. So I decided to learn judo. Yeah.
And also his brother was like, from what I've gathered, his brother was like 13 years older. So even though he wasn't quite old enough for judo yet, age 4, his parents were like, yeah, his brother's doing it, so let's get him into judo as well.
Yeah, I think it might have been like 4 or 6 years old. He was like... He got into it, but he was young. He was pretty young. And his mother had him late in life. The doctors were like, yeah, you should not be having a kid at your age. But she did anyways, and we have him. And he talks about how his brother developed leukemia. And there's like this very grim part where he went to go visit him. And, because he was smaller, and so his brother was looking down on him, he tried to talk to him, and as he did, he saw that his tongue was missing because they had to remove it because of the cancer growth, which was, that was a harrowing moment. But, he sort of sensed that his brother died when his parents came home. They're like, yeah, he didn't make it. But, after that, he got really deep into the martial arts, and they were tough on him. Like, they were like, oof. He went through some, like, vigorous training. It was, like, brutal. They would be, like, at his, like, dojo, they would be, like, doing, like, 2, 3, 4 men on 1, 10. It'd be like that scene in Ip Man. But, this was, it became, like, his passion. This is what kept him going in life. And, he gets drunk, as a teenager. He's approaching 18. Well, I think he is by this point. And... He's going on a night out on the town with his boys, and he gets hit by a car, ends up being hospitalized. He's basically, they're basically telling him, yeah, you're not going to be able to walk right again. And so he gets pretty suicidal, and he ends up, he's like, you know what? I'm going to join the French Foreign Legion. At least I'll have, I'll go out in a blaze of glory. I'll find some meaning. And, it was not what he expected, because it was, like, even more brutal than he could have thought. There's, like, a quote where he's like, I read all the stories, and you know what? Most of them were true.
Hmm.
And, for example, like, during training, he talked about this, like, Indian guy, because they were doing, like, they were practicing parachute drops, and the guy hesitated. And I guess the instructors noticed, so they went into his room one night, beat the shit out of him, took him to the rooftop, and they basically made him jump and, like, aim for this, like, trash can filled with water, and he missed, and so they went down, took him, and put him in this, like, metal locker, and they put, like, a gas stove under it, basically cooking him, and, it was brutal. It was, like, really disturbing. He talked about it. He was like, yeah, it was messed up, but that was, like, what you had to deal with there.
I wonder why people don't join the Legion anymore.
Yeah, it's like...
Yeah, sign me up.
Yeah, he talked about how, like, if people were, like, lagging behind at the end of the line when, they're doing their jogs, they would just get beaten, just, like, clobbered. And a lot of people ended up going to, like, the mental ward. This is, like, hardcore training. And he ended up in the top 5, miraculously. I mean, they actually kind of liked how, like, here's this kid with a limp, and,
Well, You say miraculously, but there were only five left at this point, probably.
Yeah, probably just five at that point. Like, okay, you know, you know, here we got these five guys, you know, hey, I mean, you must be tough. And he basically signs up for the most prestigious class in the French Foreign Legion. It's like the paratrooper. I forget the name of it, but yeah, he goes to like train in like the this like really elite special forces training camp. And from there, he goes straight to the Rwanda genocide, which, obviously, fun times. No, he talks about how, like, how they would be driving in pitch black, and they think that they would be driving over a bumpy road, and I think you know what it was they were driving over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he talked about how awful it was just, like, doing nothing to, like, help these people. He's like, all we're doing is rescuing these foreign people, and we're leaving the locals to get murdered. And from there, he's like, you know, I started to lose my faith in the Legion. And, you know, he's basically, he was just like, it just felt less noble. And in his off time, he would go to Burma, and he would fight for the rebels, because they were fighting against the, I mean, if you've seen Rambo 4, you know.
Yeah. He's the real-life Rambo. Yeah,
real-life Rambo. if it was a really bleak character study. Because on one of his trips down there, he ends up falling in love with a resistance member. And he is going to come back and propose to her and marry her. And he comes back and he finds out she's been murdered. And they don't tell him how it happened, but he's like, I knew it must have been horrible. I didn't want to think about it. And he basically just drank and did drugs and all that stuff and decided to return home. And then he got a call like, hey, you want to go kidnap some war criminals in Yugoslavia? He's like, hell yeah.
Makes it all worth it, right?
Yeah, but then he was like, yeah, but then I felt pretty empty still. I realized even a noble goal like that wasn't going to help me. And, you know, from there, he does a little soul-searching and comes to the United States. And I think that will lead us into the little brief discussion on his pivotal role as featured fighter in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. That's where we all know him from.
Yeah, that's his greatest role, doing a dropkick and immediately getting turned into an ice popsicle by Sub-Zero.
Wearing a face mask.
Yeah, well, wearing a face mask. He just does a bunch of really cool karate moves and immediately dies. What a legend.
Yes.
Yeah, but kind of sound like I'm doing like a book report here, but he meets Jesse V. Johnson on this film because he was like the third assistant director, I believe. Yeah, and from there, they become friends, and he's like, hey, I got this script called The Doorman. You want to make it? And he's like, okay, let's do this short movie called Death Row The Tournament, which I know me and Marty, we saw that.
Yeah, it's on YouTube in two parts.
Indeed.
Kind of shit quality, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But it's really fun. He plays a cop who gets framed by one of his partners. So he has to go to jail and fight in a jail-centric fighting tournament. Has to fight Niels Allen Stewart, who has just a very familiar face, but I also don't know where I knew him from.
Yeah, same.
And, you know, I wish it was 90 minutes long, because it's actually quite good.
Yeah, it says something when I would rather be watching that instead of The Doorman. But, yeah, that it's great. I wish they made that into, like, a full feature. But as is, it's good, you know? Although it does kind of suffer from, like, bad lighting during the pivotal fight scene.
Yeah, it might also be due down to the terrible video quality on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm throwing a bone there, because the quality probably definitely had something to do with that.
Yeah.
I can imagine the 4K UHD crisp restoration just being amazing.
Oh, and the Criterion Collection does it.
Oh, no. Yeah. Vinegar Syndrome would be doing it, of course.
Okay.
With a $60 slipcover when it's not on sale. Yeah.
But for that money, you get 15 minutes of greatness.
Yeah.
No, and they worked together on this one. And at the end of it, they were like, why didn't we just make a feature? Like, why all this trouble for 15 minutes? And so that's sort of the thinking that led to The Doorman, yeah, which I believe both of you have seen.
Yes. It kind of feels like Vandenberg's Above the Law, like what Above the Law was to Steven Seagal, like loosely based on his alleged true story in the case of Seagal.
Well,
Seagal
his
obviously
character,
wasn't real.
His character's name is Seagal, so...
Oh, you're right. Maybe you were inspired by Above the Law or something like that. Because this starts out with Vandenberg as like a member of the French Foreign Legion fighting in Africa. Then he goes to the United States. He becomes a bouncer in this truly awful L.A. nightclub. I'm reminded every time I think of that, of like the Saturday Night Live skit of like Bill Hader doing Stefan, you know, like New York's hottest club is blah, blah, blah. I can't help but think of like LA's shittiest club is the one in The Doorman. It's got more bartenders than patrons. I mean, it's got more bartenders and bouncers than patrons. It smells like goat piss. And the walls are made of cardboard. And the music sucks ass. That's kind of what it reminds me of. It's just, it's not a good place to be. And they hype it up like it's this great nightclub.
Yeah. Well, I was reading up like background info on the Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
He mentioned that he was a bouncer actually, working at a really crappy nightclub. It was like really run down, called The Gate.
Okay.
And he was
so he is Above the Law. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Although he was also working for Benny the Jet as a sparring partner.
Yeah.
That's not in this movie, unfortunately.
Yeah. Unfortunately, no scene where he's a sparring partner for Benny the Jet. That would probably
couldn't afford him.
It would bump up my rating by half a star, but as it is, it's 2.5. It's 1.5. 1.5.
No, out of 5?
Yeah, out of 5.
Yeah, I'd give it like a 2 out of 5. It's not good. It's more like The Dour Man than The Doorman, because Vandenberg just kind of goes through the whole thing looking very sad and slams his head against like a crucifix at one point. And it's just, it takes forever for the plot to materialize. You know, it's got like some action at the beginning with him in Africa in the French Foreign Legion. Then he goes to L.A. and he fights some people in the bar or nightclub or whatever. But it takes forever for the plot to materialize. And by the point that point, you're just like, I don't care anymore. This movie, no, it's not working for me.
Yeah, the pacing is terrible. And it looks terrible. The lighting.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You can't see what's happening. Well, I mean, you can, but it looks terrible. Like the lighting is off, the sound design is off, the dialogue, like, I can barely, like, speak up. I can't hear you.
Yeah, there's one scene where when he first goes to the nightclub, they leave the nightclub door open, so all the cars are, like, driving outside, and, like, you can't even hear the actors talking because of the traffic outside. It's like, close the goddamn door, will ya?
That's your job, man.
You're the doorman! Oh man, that's the worst pun ever.
Yeah, it's like
I like it.
I should probably also mention that there's another regular from Jesse V. Johnson's roster, Timothy V. Murphy, who I believe he plays his boss, not the owner, not the scumbag owners, but the guy who's just like, let me do my job.
The one who's on the computer the entire time, like the cameras, that guy.
Yeah, I think that guy, the real sort of like, you know, burly looking guy. Not the big guy, but the one who looks like he's like 50 years old.
Who looks like Viggo Mortensen if he smoked 2 packs a day.
Yeah, that guy.
You mean Ed Harris?
Yeah.
Ed Harris is in this film.
He's like a combination between Ed Harris and Viggo Mortensen.
Okay.
That's gotcha. Him.
But yeah, I would not recommend The Doorman. There's a little bit of shoot 'em up at the end. By that point, though, I was not into it anymore, so...
It's only 15 seconds, too. It's just, like, it's over, like, within, like... But I do have to say, my fucking mind was blown away by the ending. Because I was just like, no. No way. No. Because when they show the hospital, because Vandenberg gets turned into Swiss cheese by the main bad guy, he doesn't even get to kill him. Like, he gets He gets shot to death later on by some, like, nobody.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even know who that character was.
Yeah, he's the guy from earlier who they get in a shootout with, but...
Oh.
I mean, yeah, who even remembers that guy exactly?
Yeah.
But he gets fucking turned into Swiss cheese, and he's stabbed, like, a dozen times afterwards. And somehow, they cut to the hospital at the very end, and he's there in the hospital bed, all right. He's perfectly well.
He's talking and everything.
What the fuck? I thought he was dead.
I didn't what? Too. It was just a lame ending.
It was a cop out. I would have, but I honestly, I admire the balls to just do that.
It may be shitty.
just to be like, yeah, he's alive. Deal with it.
Yeah. That almost feels like they try to soften the ending a little bit. Like, yeah, oh man, people are going to be depressed in this movie called The Dour Man, so we need to like make him survive.
Yeah, that's the honorable cut. He doesn't come back. Oh. I don't know. Maybe. I don't even know if there is a difference between the two.
Yeah.
Apparently not, because I should also mention that the number one person who was voting for Dominic Vandenberg to get a page was one of our esteemed members of the site, Satan Claus. What a nice name!
what a hail Satan!
A little Last Boy Scout reference there for you fellas. But he was just like, I will keep voting for him until he gets a page. Yeah, he even bought a copy of The Honorable just to compare, and apparently there's no difference. But
yeah, because there's another movie in his filmography called The Honorable, and apparently that's just the same damn thing as Dour Man. So there you go.
Yeah, they're listed separately on IMDb, but as far as we know, they're the same movie.
Yeah, I looked at like a couple interviews, and yeah, he just says yeah, it's a recut.
Oh, he did. I saw an interview with him where he said The Doorman, which is also called The Honorable. So he didn't mention a different cut. But
way to go for consistency there, Vandenberg.
Yeah. The jury is still out.
Yeah. Yeah, but that leads us to an actually good film, despite what the critics will say. They put out the hit on this next film we're going to discuss, which is called Pit Fighter from 2005.
Oh, you're jumping. You're jumping.
Oh, am I? Oh, yeah, I forgot. Oh, my God. How could we forget Gangs of New York?
Yes.
And your favorite movie of his, you also skipped.
Oh, my God.
And we already skipped Barbed Wire as well, so we're doing perfect.
Marty's putting me on blast. Uh-oh.
No, Gangs of New York. Yeah. It's not Marty's best film, Martin Scorsese, but I like it.
Yeah, I think it gets a little too much hate, especially when you have like an epic opening like that one has, which is just like phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah, that big fight at the beginning. When I first saw it, I thought, is this like a literal, like, vision of what's happening, or is this kind of like some expressionistic take on like how things look from like a little child's perspective? But I think they were going for like a literal take, like this is literally hundreds of people beating the shit out of each other in the middle of town square, rather than just kind of like this kind of figurative dreamlike expressionistic thing going on. I mean, I think it's supposed to be real that like the big fight at the beginning, which is awesome, I love it. I think that's supposed to be real, right?
I'm not mistaken. Yeah, the riot. Yeah, that actually happened. The riot.
No, I mean, like, at the very beginning.
At the beginning?
The gang fight.
I mean, 1800s. I mean, anything goes.
That's true. Well, anyway, but yeah, it's a really good movie. It's kind of like a gangster, almost like a war movie, home front type film at the same time. Of course, you have the draft riots at the end, and it's a really good movie. It's probably one of my favorite Martin Scorsese films that I've seen. Not my favorite, but it's up there.
Yeah. All-timer Daniel Day-Lewis villain performance.
Yeah, he's terrifying.
Oh, this poor rabbit. How could they do such a thing?
And who does Vandenberg play in this movie?
He's a member of the Dead Rabbit gang.
All right.
That's Leo's gang, right?
Yeah, the revived one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's... originally Liam Neeson's gang, and he's there. He's like, you look at like photos of them, and like he's there in the crowd, like at the front.
Yeah,
and
I didn't notice him.
Yeah, and he did the fight choreography.
Yeah,
no, that's good because I mean there's some good stuff in here. Like I remember fondly the scene of the guy having his like cheek ripped open by like somebody's fingers or something like that. Like, yeah, I remember that, of course, but yeah, there's I mean. For a Martin Scorsese film, it does feel like the action is a bit more pumped up than you would expect.
Hey, that's that Vandenberg magic, baby.
Yeah, he's responsible for the film's success.
Yeah, interesting thing about the background behind him getting the gig was that Vic Armstrong, the action director, hired
legend.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he hired him originally just to, you know.
Wasn't it his brother?
I
Vic's brother?
I think he recommended him. I don't know. Like, there was something
about that. Both brothers were involved in some way.
Yeah, in some way in his hiring. But, yeah, he was training Leo, Daniel, and some other actors, some fighting, because they were learning all types of different fighting moves for the film. And Scorsese, he was like, oh, my God, this dude's goated. I got to get him for like, the fight choreography. And that's how he got the gig. And I think we should rewind and just briefly talk about his pivotal role in Barbed Wire as a goon.
Yeah, fucking amazing movie. I fucking loved it. I did not expect to love it this much, but I did. It's rated like rather poorly, but I think most people just have a really big problem with Pamela Anderson's like persona. But you know, I was 16 once, and I can still remember what that was like. So.
Yeah, I'm currently on that shock because I saw the documentary she did about her life, and I also saw the last Showgirl. She's great.
Oh, it's getting rave reviews.
But Dave Bautista's great too. But enough about that. I need to see Barbed Wire, especially for the M. Bison looking Steve Railsback. From our previous episode of where we talked.
Turkey Shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it has a stacked cast. Like, Xander Berkeley, Tommy Lister is in it for like a second, but still.
Oh.
Jesus Christ, that's too many to mention almost. But
isn't it like a Casablanca remake in a way?
Yeah, it's like a 90s cyberpunk big budget remake of Casablanca.
Oh, you have my attention now. This sounds good.
Yeah.
Starring Pamela Anderson.
I'm looking at the first four sentences of like the summary, and it says a sexy nightclub owner. Okay.
She's a sexy nightclub owner, but also a bounty hunter. She's a famous nightclub owner, but also completely capable of going undercover as a bounty hunter. So, yeah, sure.
Oh.
Fine, great.
This kind of makes me want to watch a version of Casablanca where like Humphrey Bogart walks around in nothing but a thong, like fighting like bad guys and stuff. I mean, it could be awful. It could be good. Who knows?
That's basically this movie, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
just shooting at people with like guns akimbo.
No. Yeah. John Woo influence.
It's really well made. It commits to the part. It takes itself seriously, which is actually like refreshing and great.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can imagine an action movie starring Pamela Anderson would just be like, oh, this is Pamela Anderson, the action hero, wink, wink.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, no, it commits to the part. It's 90s cyberpunk Casablanca remake. There you go.
Ooh.
I loved it.
But I guess we went from a good movie to what we're now going to have to discuss because I saw it yet again, Skeleton Man.
Oh.
No. The one with a 2.1 on IMDb.
Yeah. Oh, God. And deservedly so. Unlike Pitmaster.
Gaspar Van Dien, Michael Rooker. How can this be bad?
Just look up the just look up the scene of Michael Rooker tripping and falling down a hill on YouTube. And you'll see what I mean. But Gaspar Van Dien just like hilariously gets unceremoniously killed off midway through the film. Like, just out of nowhere, like, out of context, he's just lying down in the woods, gets sliced open by the Skeleton Man.
The Skeleton Man, okay.
And then Michael Rooker finds him, he's like, no. Like almost like later on, almost like as an afterthought, like, they find him.
Oh. has some rewrites in the script. Gotta get rid of this character. Nobody likes him.
So is Vandenberg the Skeleton Man?
He is. He is. I mean, you can clearly see that it's him in the flashback before he becomes the Skeleton Man. I rewatched it, and unfortunately, it was a Spanish dub, so I don't know what it's about, other than other than the obvious, it's about a skeleton man going around killing people.
Okay.
Used to be a Native American guy, played by a Belgian, but I'll let it pass.
And once again, looking at the IMDb cast list, both Niels Allen Stewart, who was also in Barbed Wire, by the way.
And the doorman, I think.
Yeah, he pops up again. And Timothy V. Murphy pops up again.
Oh, yeah.
Who, looking at his IMDb page, actually did a movie with both Ed Harris and Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah, I know that.
Appalooza?
Yeah, it is.
That's crazy. They're like triplets.
I hope they weren't triplets.
Yeah.
Ed Harris directed Appaloosa. He saw that guy and he was like, he's got to be in my movie.
He's so awesome.
And who can forget his role in Cuck?
Oh.
that's literally a movie. But Skeleton Man, it's got like his third highest amount of kills in a film, but don't watch it. It's terrible. They literally my mouth was agape when I got to the end credits and they just started playing the Benny Hill theme.
What?
For real?
Yeah.
That?
Yeah. And I should also mention that the character's name is Cottonmouth, and originally they were going to call this film Cottonmouth Joe. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Yeah.
Where did he come from? Where did he go?
And then the credits rewind to show like footage from earlier in the film of him like riding around silhouetted in the woods.
This does sound pretty awful.
It's basically a Predator ripoff, and I forgot to mention this, but he has infrared vision, and him and his horse can go invisible. I am not kidding.
He rides a horse?
Yeah, throughout the film.
Is it the skeleton horse?
Oh, no,
that would have been too good.
Yeah, like, we can't afford that.
It's just a regular horse, and I should mention that the mask is pretty bad. It's a bad Skeletor mask.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay, so he does at least look like a skeleton.
Yeah.
Could have been one of those cases where it's like, no, his name is Cottonmouth, it has nothing to do with skeletons. But no, Skeleton Man sounded cool.
Like the Glimmer Man. He doesn't actually glimmer.
Yeah.
No.
Hey, Steven can do everything.
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. I'm like super hyped to watch that one now. So, up next, his big breakthrough, really, Pit Fighter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. See him reteaming with Jesse Johnson and a very early appearance for Scott Adkins.
And the Virgin Mary.
Yeah. Brendan, you've seen this one, right?
Okay, yes. This is a pretty good one. It's kind of like an amnesia action movie where like Vandenberg discovers he's really good at being like beaten the hell out of, but still staying in the fight when he's like in like a martial arts tournament. So he's like, hey, I kind of let these guys beat me up for a while. Then I clobber them. So there's that. And there's this mysterious past, you know, like, oh, who is this woman he keeps looking at? You know, like, what is her role in this amnesia case? And he kind of becomes like he serves the Roman Catholic Church by giving his winnings in this tournament where he beats people's eyeballs out and he gives the money to the church.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what he does. And it's a good movie. I watched it primarily. It was the first Vandenberg film I watched that where he's the star, because I saw he had the biggest kill count in this film. But I was watching most of it thinking, is this the right film? Because he's not really killing anybody here. He's pulverizing the shit out of them, just beating them mercilessly until their eyeballs fall out. But he's not really killing them. Then there's this like surreal dreamlike sequence at the end where he just grabs like a machine gun and just goes to town on this enemy militia. And I'm like, oh, that's where the kills are. And it's not the most well choreographed sequence in the world. It feels a little loose, but it's a fun movie.
He's like standing in the middle of a square and all the guys are missing him.
Yeah.
How could you not hit him when you shoot him? There's like 50 guys around him and they're all missing. And he's just taking them out one by one.
It's a miracle one of them managed to shoot him in the shoulder at one point.
I know. Are they firing blanks on purpose? It's just, what is going on here?
Yeah, he just...
I mean, he grabs a machete at one point and just starts hacking people to death, and they're still missing him.
All this because Al Capone shot him in the head.
Yeah. He gets, like, literally his head... Like, the doctor says, well, you lost 99% of your brain, but you can still fight in martial arts tournaments. And, like, he's like, okay, I guess I'll do that.
Yeah, speaking of Al Capone, he brings with him Gangs of New York cast member Stephen Graham.
Oh,
really? Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, who plays the guy who shoots him in the flashback.
Okay.
Well, he comes back later on, but he's the pseudo-intellectual freedom fighter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're trying to arm these, like, Mexican guerrillas or whatever to fight the government.
Well, the twist
is... That's kind of a twist.
Well, the twist is that they were transporting food and supplies.
Okay, yeah.
He's just like, what, you don't have any guns? Well, I'm going to leave you with these people. Because you find out that Vandenberg was, like, a amoral, just doesn't believe in anything hitman. He'll, like, kill anybody for $7,000, as they say.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering about that dollar amount. Like,
damn, that's like, really? Like, it's kind of low.
Yeah, I wouldn't kill someone for $7,000.
Yeah.
Unless they're Steven Seagal, but we'll talk about that later.
I did like the plot twist, how it, like, the guys that Stephen Bauer is working for are, like, they're the guys who hired Vandenberg to assassinate basically their entire crime family. So they could, like, reap the rewards.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, it's time to kick your asses. He just immediately shoots them to death. Like, doesn't even, like, give them the chance. It's like the Wild Bunch on crack. Like, literally, like, he goes straight for, like, the bad guy, the main bad guys at the beginning of the fight. And then it's just their goons.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I've already taken them out. Like, if they kill me, I've already achieved my goal.
Yeah, well, he took out the ones who can actually shoot straight, right?
Yeah. And one of them has the machine gun. He's, like, carrying it around throughout, like, the last third of the film. And I'm like, ooh, so that's where it came from. He picks up the old saber, the cavalry saber, from the bar.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I actually said it was a machete, but yeah, it's a saber, yeah.
It's almost like the Wild Bunch meets a Robert Rodriguez film at the end.
Yeah, and I was kind of like wondering, is this literally happening in the film, or is this like a dream? Because this feels like a dream.
Yeah, I mean, like, compared to, like, how grounded the rest of it is, it's like this really gritty sort of, like, direct-to-video martial arts, like, action drama about this, like, guy who's, like, seeking redemption. And he does, you know, he doesn't, like, rip off all the people who bet on him, you know. He didn't let down the common man.
Yeah.
And he makes sure they get that money to the rebels.
Mm-hmm.
And he dies gloriously, as he wanted to in the first place. But I love it. I love just how out of nowhere, it just goes from like 12 people that he's killed in the film to like 94.
Yeah. It's a good movie.
Yeah. Especially the part where he drop kicks the guy in the face and he turns over and his eyeball's like sticking out, and then somebody in like the like crowd froze up. And
yeah,
I think during one of the other pit fights, like, one of the fighters accidentally hits a spectator. I was like,
oh. Yeah.
There's like a lot of Vandenberg just covered in blood in this film. I'd say like about over 50% of the film he's covered in blood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's fair to say.
No, I like this one, but I think it's mostly just interesting, sort of like seeing how Jesse Johnson got started, more than it is interesting as a standalone film. Though it is, it's fine, it's entertaining, it's good.
I mean, I would say that this is like when he began to, as they say nowadays, lock in.
Yeah, find his groove.
I mean, I don't know, I think maybe I've rated it a little higher than I probably would. Just because it's so much better than The Doorman. I mean, oh my god.
No contest.
Talk about an improvement. This movie is like, it's the Seven Samurai of improvements here.
The Doorman is the guy who gets his eyeballs blown out, and this is Vandenberg doing it to him.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
And next, I think we've all seen Inland Empire at some point, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, who can forget that beautiful David Lynch cameo he has.
Bucky, just lower it 2 foot, would you? From there. No, Bucky, it's going up. I want it down, Bucky, 2 foot lower.
First goddamn time I had a crap. Just a minute, I'm getting on it. I got it on it.
Thank you, Bucky.
I was literally laughing for like half an hour after that moment. It's great. But I just don't remember Vandenberg in it, and I wasn't going to rewatch a 3-hour movie that makes no sense.
Even as a diehard David Lynch fan,
no.
I don't think I could find Vandenberg in this film if I tried. I think it is my least favorite of his films, too. I love Dune, by the way. I love it. I don't care what David Lynch says. It's great.
Yeah, this is probably one of my least favorite Lynch films. I love surrealism. I really do. I mean, but this is not Eraserhead. This is just surrealism stretched out to like 3 hours worth of runtime. It's not the distilled madness that is Eraserhead or Lost Highway or whatever. It just feels too long and not enough gut punches taking place in the runtime. There is some good stuff here, like the guy with the light bulb in his mouth, or the scary face, or the rabbit sitcom, or whatever the hell it was. But there's just...
Do the locomotion.
There's just not enough material here for 3 hours. What?
Do the locomotion.
Oh! That part's pretty good. I will give you that.
Yeah, and Laura Dern running up to the camera screaming out of the darkness. Terrifying.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, there's some good stuff here, but... I don't know. Not enough for 3 hours.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It feels like a bunch of like vaguely connected short films.
Ooh. I think that's how it started, even.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, that probably is how it started. And it also just feels like David Lynch being like, look at how great Laura Dern is. Isn't she a wonderful actress? And yes, she is. But I don't know if I can do 3 hours of it. It's a little too much.
Yeah, it's pushing it.
I actually, this is a bit of a... sidestep, but one of my neighbors here in the Netherlands actually used to be Laura Dern's brother-in-law.
Oh. What?
I know, it's crazy. Because Laura Dern used to be married to Ben Harper, musician, and Ben Harper's, I think, mother is Dutch. And in her first marriage, she had my neighbor. And then in her second marriage, she had Ben Harper. So, like, that guy is... Ben Harper is, like, a half-brother of my neighbor... So, and he was married to Laura Dern, so, yeah. You want to do 6 degrees of separation between me and Laura Dern? There you have it.
7 degrees between you and David Lynch.
Yeah. There you go.
You're practically neighbors.
Yeah.
That's great.
We were so close. So, have either of you seen Alien Agents or Charlie Valentine?
I... saw Charlie Valentine a long, long time ago on TV, like on one of the movie channels.
Yeah.
I don't have it as marked as watched because I don't trust myself. But I definitely remember watching the first 15 minutes, for sure.
Okay.
But I just recently went back and kind of skin watched it. Like, I kind of did watch it, but not really. I kind of was just watching for Vandenberg because... He does have a significant role in it.
Really?
I don't know if any of you guys watched it, did you?
No.
No.
He plays himself, Dom.
Dom. Yeah, he plays James Russo's brutal mob enforcer.
Mm-hmm.
He's like going around torturing people. He murders the titular character's girlfriend off screen. He tortures an old
no
man.
No Valentine for her, then.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, little grandpa chaser with that gal. Yeah, the movie literally opens with a shot on her ass in bed as he's getting ready to do the big old score. I'm a old school crime guy. I don't know what the plot is other than it's about him and his son. It's about this guy and his son, all right? They're going to do a robbery.
Yeah, Raymond J. Berry, I think we talked about a little bit before.
Yeah, Raymond J. Berry. I've
was
seen him
in Rapid Fire. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, that's the one. I remember him in that, and I saw him in a Anthony Michael Hall thriller from the 80s called Out of Bounds. Okay. Plays a corrupt cop in that. It's pretty good.
Yeah, he's a solid actor.
Yeah, he plays a pretty convincing tough guy in it. And it's got some nice meaty blood squibs.
Oh.
That's that Jesse Johnson magic.
Yeah, that Jesse Johnson magic and practical blood stabbings, which Vandenberg ends up being the victim of when Raymond.
They're best friends.
Yeah, when him and Raymond, like, I think, like, he has him at gunpoint at the end, and he ends up disarming him and just slicing his throat open after cutting his artery. But, yeah, it's really good. Stephen Bauer is also in it. And, oh, boy,
yeah,
oh, boy.
Keith David?
Yeah, Keith, he's in it for a little bit. He's in it for, like, about 10 minutes. I don't want to give away what happens, but I was like, what? You know, I suspect Jesse V. Johnson has something against Keith David with how he keeps treating him in his films.
Hey, as long as he gets the man, give him some work.
You're just unceremoniously shot in the head by James Russo.
Oh.
Well, actually, it's just like a shocking moment. Like, he just opens the door on him and blows his brains out in front of Raymond. He's just like, yeah, you got set up. Dun, dun, dun. But, yeah, it's worth watching just for the blood squib-filled finale, which is just...
Nice, yeah.
It's a bloodbath. Oh, my God, it's such a brutal film. But, yeah, and, Marty, you saw The Butcher, right?
And Hooligans 2.
Oh, you saw he's in that?
Which I... Yeah, apparently, I don't remember anything about it. And I also... All I know is that I gave it 1 star on Letterboxd. So I didn't rewatch it. No, this is just another one of those movies. I didn't really care, but like I'd seen the first one. Scott Adkins was in the third one. So I wanted to watch that one. So I was like, might as well watch this one as well. Yeah, don't remember anything other than it's shit.
Vernon Wells.
Vernon Wells?
Who was also in The Butcher?
Matthias Hughes. Who can forget? Timothy V. Murphy.
There he is.
Yeah. There he is.
Yeah. Yeah, no, The Butcher, though, basically the same as what you said about Charlie Valentine. It's like, you have to watch this for the blood-filled ending. Because it's a pretty mid-movie, though, like, one hell of a cast. It's got, like, Eric Roberts in the lead. It's got Robert Davi, Keith David, Jeffrey Lewis, Michael Ironside, Bokeem Woodbine, Vernon Wells, Timothy Murphy. Like, the cast of this fucking thing is stacked. And then... Jeez. It's a pretty mid-movie, but, like, genuinely, the final shootout is maybe one of the greatest of all time. Like, holy shit, where did that come from? That was fucking amazing. So...
Yeah, I kind of skimmed through the film as well. Oh, wait, not as well, but I'm the only one who skimmed through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I did watch the finale. I was just like, all right, I gotta lock in and watch this part, and that looks amazing. I gotta sit down and watch it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the first hour is okay, but then like
there's like a really great landing. Hotel shootout where he shoots a guy. he shoots a guy through like a brick wall.
Yeah. Yes.
Just shocking.
And also, those guys can shoot wherever shit either.
Yeah.
But they actually make a point to, like, Eric Roberts actually says that to the girl he's with. Like, don't worry, they can't shoot.
Yeah.
Ah, that makes it all better.
Jesse V. Johnson corrected
this. We've acknowledged it, now it's okay.
Yeah. He's like, hey, I acknowledge it in the dialogue. Don't worry.
Yeah. No, but it actually makes sense because they're just, like, mob idiots versus, like, Eric Roberts plays, like, an aging enforcer. Who's been on the job for a long, long time.
Okay.
So it makes sense that he's better at it. But like the plot as well, it has a plot, but if you think about it for more than 5 seconds, it sort of starts to fall apart. because he's being set up. He's sent on a job, but he's sent there at the same time that his boss is planning a heist. Because he's sent to a strip club to talk to the owner, but then strip club, there's a heist, they steal the money. Turns out the money belonged to the mob. Somebody has to take the fall and they think it's going to be him. But like, how would that work? If other people steal the money from there, how would that make Eric Roberts look suspicious? Like, I don't get it. But it doesn't matter because we get a baller of a shootout at the end. I can't say that often enough. That ending shootout is amazing.
Yeah. Face off golden pistols.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we didn't speak about Vandenberg.
No. Yeah, because like Robert Davi plays a mob boss, but he's Irish. It's like you look at the guy and you don't think Ireland. That's
pure-blooded Italian is.
Just, yeah.
Yeah, I'm seeing like that's an Irishman for sure.
Yeah.
They're just like they're all Roman Catholics. Just cast them all as Irish. Yeah.
And there's I don't even know why there's flashback to him as a kid with his dad, played by Vernon Wells, and his IRA buddies apparently. But like those are the scenes that Dominic is in, and they have no relation to the actual story plot. They're just character flashbacks.
Yeah, well, I was
genuinely think the movie might be better without those scenes.
Yeah, well, I was skimming through it. I thought, is this like a flashback Eric Roberts is having?
Yeah, that's also kind of confusing whose flashbacks these are supposed to be. Like, is Dominic supposed to be like a younger Eric Roberts or something? No, right? No. He's barely in this one.
Yeah, it's like 30 seconds if I'm being charitable. Probably like 15.
Yeah. But, you know, still a good movie. And then up next we have another movie that I've seen, but don't remember much about other than I didn't like it. It's True Legend, the Yuen Woo Ping movie. Have either of you seen this one?
No.
I saw a little bit, but no. I know he's a featured fighter in this. Plays Bald One Eye.
Yeah. Also, apparently he wasn't in it as much as originally planned because he had pneumonia in China. So he had to go home and just leave the production.
Well, we all know somebody who... unfortunately, didn't. speaking of people who had to leave production, David Carradine.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this was the film.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I think it was.
He was the main reason that Vandenberg wanted to work on this one, because he grew up watching Kung Fu.
In his final film role before his death.
His very sad death.
Yeah.
Can happen to the best of us, David.
Yep.
No, people give like Lord of the Rings free shit for having a lot of endings, but I'm like totally fine with that one. But I remember True Legend being one of those movies where I was like, oh, finally, it's over, it's done. But then no, there was like 20 minutes left. Like, fuck. It sort of ends and then it has like 20 minutes of movies that it still goes through for some reason.
No. I hate that.
No, maybe a rewatch would change my mind on it, but as it stands, I don't care for it. But then up next, there's like 4 Jesse Johnson movies, starting with Triple Threat, which was basically like an Asian B-movie Expendables that also took a lot of time to actually come out, weirdly, even though like a lot of people wanted to watch it.
Yeah, I remember when this was like getting hype.
Yeah, I think like the trailer for it dropped like 2 years before it eventually got released.
Yeah, I was like wondering like when the hell is this movie coming out? This looks cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's got Tony Jaa, Iko Uwais, Scott Adkins, Michael Jai White, Ji Jia Yanin, Dominic Vandenberg, Ron Smoreberg. Like the cast is.
Tiger Chen from Man of Tai Chi.
Yeah.
They got some heavy hitters on that movie.
I know it's not as good as it could have been, but, you know, it's still really good.
An admirable effort.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then after that one, we have sort of like a spiritual sequel to Pit Fighter.
Yeah, The Mercenary.
A lot of similarities.
Yeah, this... go ahead.
Yeah, I think Dominic originally envisioned this as a graphic novel.
Yeah, he did. Oh. I think he'd been working on that for like... quite a number of years, and originally he was going to do it with like a VR company, but that fell through because hilariously, as he says, because they became very PC about things. I could not do this very violent comic book with them anymore once they associated with Google.
How would you release a comic book in VR?
I don't know. They're doing all types of stuff in VR these days.
Doesn't this man know that VR is like only for porn?
I don't know if they were just gonna like release it in VR, if it was like just like, yeah, we'll give you the money to we'll publish this. Yeah, but if you let us do our porn parody.
The mercenary position.
I'm just thinking of, like, the scene where Hammer Ford and Magpie. Oh, yeah.
No, but he also envisions, like, a whole backstory that he talks about of, like, he actually dies when he gets his throat cut, and then there's a sort of like a spirit who hasn't finished living, who then takes over the dying body of another man so he can come back. And that was sort of like how it was originally envisioned.
Damn, that actually would have made a lot more sense. Because I was just when he gets his throat slit, I was like, holy shit, how is he going to survive this?
Yeah, it's over already? Damn.
Yeah, he just tanks it.
He survives the wildest things in his movies. Like in The Dour Man, he survives getting pumped full of lead. And Pit Fighter, he survives, like, getting shot in the head and losing 99% of his brain. And this film, he gets his esophagus, like, just, like, sliced out, but he's still going. He can survive anything. He's like a Terminator.
Yeah, this man is, you know, he's the Vandenberg.
Vandenberginator.
The Roman Catholic Terminator.
You can see it now, yeah.
Belgian Roman Catholic Terminator.
I'll give you 3 Hail Marys. Oh, I love it. I want to see more. Here's some holy water for you. Drowns him to death in like some like baptismal font or something like that.
Yeah. Cross your heart, hope to die.
You made a great vampire hunter.
Yes. But no, in this movie, it's like sort of pulls from his own life again because he plays like a military mercenary. And the movie just sort of starts with like 3 scenes of him in... Well, with this team in different countries.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. It takes a while to get going. It's a good movie, don't get me wrong. But it does take a while to get going. It's just like a series of action scenes. And I'm like, where is this film going? Is it just going to be like an orgy of action scenes for like 90 minutes? I don't know what's happening right now. But it does get on track. And the action scenes are actually pretty excellent. Probably the best Vandenberg action scenes that I've seen so far. So that's good. But it takes a while to like for the plot to kick in. Which I turn out to be fine with. Because the action's good. So why complain?
Yeah, I was kind of like, is this going to be the whole movie? Just a bunch of really, admittedly really good action scenes just stitched together about this mercenary. But then I think, like, it finally starts to, like, you know, come together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not too slowly. Like, everything kind of happens really fast, so you think it's been, like, a lot of time. But no, it's like... Where'd they start? It was like in Iraq, and then they're like in Cambodia or somewhere.
I can't remember. You might be right, yeah.
Colombia, Cambodia, something.
Might have been Iraq or Syria or Libya or something like that. I think it was Iraq.
The main story is set in Colombia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they start off in like Central Africa, then Iraq, and then Colombia, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just being racist, I guess.
Yeah.
I can't tell people apart from Iraq and Afghanistan and Africa and Colombia. I'm sorry, but this podcast has been canceled.
Yeah. Well, more specifically, no more guest appearances from yours.
You've been canceled. We regret to inform you. You've been canceled.
Yeah. Sorry, fellas, but they got me.
The Twitter mob gotcha, or whatever it is these days. I don't even know. Mm-hmm.
I like this one. I'm definitely not a fan of all the like the Christianity stuff, and I keep that shit away from me, please. But at the end, when he just picks up his guns and goes after his former buddies, like holy shit, give me more of this.
Oh, I agree. The talkier scenes that revolve around Roman Catholicism, they kind of bog down the movie a little bit, not horribly, but. There's some scenes where he's talking about, like, I want to be a nonviolent person. Well, he doesn't really say that because that'd be too on the nose. But anyway, he just doesn't want to, like, engage in violence now that he's part of the Roman Catholic Church and he wants to be a priest or whatever. And it's, I don't know. But then when he starts, like, bashing people's faces in with a shotgun stock, reducing it to SpaghettiOs, that's the good stuff right there. I like this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you gotta love how the scene where he gets crucified just goes hard as hell. Yeah.
He just rips his arms off like the nails and turns out okay.
That was brutal. Ooh. nasty.
And then he needs bandages, like a couple of centimeters below where the nails were.
There's no continuity on this film, but I love it.
Yeah, the bad guys are pretty nasty guys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we got Louis Mandalore showing up.
Yeah, brother of Detective Hoffman.
From the Saw series, yes.
Yeah.
No, Louis Mandalore also like a Jesse Johnson regular at this point.
Yeah, I think so. I think since the Debt Collector.
Yeah, and he's good. I like him when he shows up.
Yeah, and I was surprised. Go ahead.
No, you.
I was just really surprised by the violence. Like, they had some real practical blood squibs in this film. They used like real fake blood instead of fake blood. Like, there's one scene where like the lady like unloads like an automatic pistol into some guy who's like laying on his back, and there's like 20,000 blood squibs going off on the guy, and I'm like, this is cinema. I don't want to see that like CGI crap. I mean, give me this real stuff. And I was surprised. I mean, it's a 2019 release, and they're still doing practical blood squibs for a lot of the effects. So I liked it.
That was an all-timer moment, especially the part where she just lets out that primal scream. She's just like, yeah, afterwards.
It's good stuff. I admired the violence here.
Yeah, the blood squibs, the knife stabbings and blood squirts. Oh my god, heavenly.
Yes, and like some guy takes like a knife to the belly and like a foot of intestine just drops out of his belly, I guess. I mean, I don't know how it works, but I don't know anatomy, and I don't want to know anatomy, but I that was pretty funny. I like that.
It kind of made me wish that there were more stabbings, not to sound a little homicidal.
You've been canceled again.
Yeah, I've been canceled yet again. Yeah, I'm pro stabbing.
Well, negative times negative is positive, so you're back.
I guess I'm back. Yeah.
Uncancelled. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just programmed. Immensely satisfying whenever like somebody got stabbed by the Vandenberg.
Mm-hmm.
Note how I'm not referring to him as Dominique.
Just the Vandenberg.
Yeah, I'm afraid of mispronouncing his first name.
Yeah, I am too.
It's amazing to see like how much practical squibs add to a movie. Why did we ever stop doing this? I mean, I know why, money and time, but...
Laziness.
It looks so beautiful.
Oh, it's just so
beauty. The beauty of a true blood squib. I mean, it adds so much more weight to the proceedings than if it was just a CGI blood hit. I don't know why that became popular. Fuck you, John Wick. No,
imagine this movie, but with CGI blood, and all of a sudden it's like a piece of crap.
Yeah.
But instead it's like a really solid, cool action movie.
It is. It's probably the best of the Vandenberg lead actor efforts I've seen.
Yeah, it's about a padre whooping all sorts of ass.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really mind all the little philosophical talk in the film, little religious piety.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it does slow it down a little.
Yeah.
But, I think it's great. I think it's a great action film. And I think the both of them are on top form with this movie. I would say that it's probably their best work together.
You're talking about Johnson and Vandenberg?
Yeah, and Vandenberg, yeah.
Yeah. With Vandenberg as leading man, definitely, yeah. I don't know if I would rate this above Triple Threat, but I did like it a bit more than Hell Have No Fury, which is his next film. That they did together again. It's a World War II movie where Daniel Bernhardt plays a Nazi, which is kind of cool.
Uh-oh, canceled. Marty. Yeah, canceled. Pro Nazi.
No.
Uh-oh, now the podcast is canceled. Oh, no.
And he gets killed, which is amazing.
Oh,
killing man. Nazis, always good.
Yeah. Now we're so fucking back.
Yeah. No, it's cool because he's Swiss, so his native tongue is German.
Oh, really? They make him his natural...
Yeah, he speaks German.
Okay, all right.
And Vandenberg speaks French, only French in this one.
That's really cool. They everybody's their native, except Mandalore.
Well, Mandalore plays an American, so...
He's Australian.
Yeah? Oh, okay. Mandalore plays an American.
I didn't know that. Until I looked it up, I was like, wait, I thought he was American.
Yeah.
No, he's Australian.
Oi, mate.
But is he Mel Gibson Australian, or is he, like, real Australian?
Well, I don't know.
There's some scenes in German and then some in French, but There's also just like two French people talking in French and then a couple of sentences in English thrown in.
No.
Yeah, I noticed that when I was like watching some scenes from it.
And also the leading lady is actually Danish and not French.
Yeah, I was getting like some Black Book vibes from this.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
As a Dutchman and big Black Book fan, I'm going to have to disagree.
Uh-oh, I'm getting called out.
Oh, schism.
No, it's about, so the French lady has an affair with Daniel Bernhardt, the Nazi, and they hide some gold. And then 3 years later, she has been taken by Louis Mandelor and his troop to go find the gold in the graveyard, which he doesn't want to tell him. And then the Nazis show up at the end and they're all after the gold in the cemetery and everybody shoots at each other and shit blows up. And Vandenberg plays a French resistance fighter who's also there for the gold. So everybody's after the gold. It's very like, well, not one setting, but the cemetery is the main location and most of the movie is set on the cemetery.
Mm. Sounds like The Good, the Bad, and the Nazis or something.
Yeah. It's definitely a bit of a bottle sort of movie.
They should have called it Good, Bad, and the Nazis. Yeah.
The Good, the Bad, and the Nazis.
More people would have saw it.
Although the Americans aren't exactly great guys in this movie.
No, they're the bad. And then the French are the good, I guess.
Good Frenchman.
No, I was expecting, because like the movie is called Hell Have No Fury, I was expecting like a woman, female-centric World War II revenge movie, but it isn't.
Vandenberg going schizo, seeing his dead friend.
Yeah. It's solid. It's not as good as the other Jesse Johnson movies, but, you know, it's Jesse Johnson. You can't go wrong, really, except with the doorman.
Apparently, Johnson has a cameo as a B-23 bomber.
Oh, okay.
A B-25 crew member, yeah.
Okay, he doesn't play the bomber itself. He plays one of the crew members.
Yeah.
Just see
I'm
going to
be
flying.
Honest with you. I don't know what the guy looks like.
I don't either.
I love his movies. Never seen a photo of him.
I did watch an interview with him, so I do know what he looks like. I'll have to go look back. Yeah, interestingly, I was like listening to like an interview with him where he talked about Death Row, the tournament.
Oh, yeah? Oh, okay.
Yeah, he talked about his early work. And he was in Total Recall. He talks about getting killed a lot in that. So I guess look out for him next time you watch it, if you could recognize him.
What?
He's in Total Recall?
I saw in the credits that he had a cameo in The Butcher as another one of the IRA members in the Vernon Wells flashbacks. Other than that, I don't know.
As well as his pivotal role as Thief in The Master of Disguise.
Who can forget The Master of Disguise? Master of Disguise, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention this, but Vandenberg also did the fight choreography for Beowulf.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. The Robert Zemeckis motion capture Beowulf.
I think that's the only one of those that I actually cared about, mostly because it's so fucking violent. Oh, my God. I don't know how they got away with that PG-13 rating.
It's not real. It's all computer-generated, so maybe that's why.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Ah, the MPAA just sucks, so...
Yeah.
You can't show any nipples on Angelina Jolie.
No, but you can show, like, an eyeball exploding or whatever the hell happens in that film. You
can just have, like, a mountain of blood.
Yeah.
As Grendel gets his arm smashed off.
Ooh, I need to watch this movie.
Oh, it's great. I love it. I saw it when it came out, too.
Oh. Oh, but Vandenberg isn't in the movie, though, right?
No. At least I don't think so. I mean, hey, you never know. I mean, he could have done some motion capture for some, like, faceless soldier during the finale.
Yeah.
Literally faceless. That's how much they're pushing the boundary of PG-13 here. Literally no face. He's just like, shing!
Oh, but Kostas Mandalore, he's in it.
Oh, we're both brothers then. No, but he did say that he really didn't like the experience of just being stuck inside like a studio or a gym, like all on green screen, blue screen, whatever. He loves to go on set, actually be there. He said, I love to smell the sweat, which I don't know why.
What?
He loves the sweat, dude.
He loves the smell of the blanks and the sweat that you get on a proper set. So he did not enjoy the experience of working on Beowulf, I don't think. But, yeah.
Did anybody?
Yeah.
Just thinking of the infamous interview with Ian McKellen about The Hobbit.
Yeah.
He's just like, I broke down at one point.
Just crying over all the green screen and stuff.
This is impossible. I can't work like this.
Oh, man. Just bring back practical effects. Practical blood squibs, people. They're great. They look so much... They have so much weight and texture and spontaneity. Practical blood squibs, people. People love them.
This is a pro-practical effects podcast. Nothing against the digital stuff. We love it when it's well implemented, but get that shit out of here when it's not needed.
Yes.
My open hostility and the tone of my voice just changing.
Yeah.
Just give Jesse Johnson a fucking cinema movie, a theater movie.
Give him a real budget.
Yeah. So have either of you seen Boudica, Vandenberg's last movie to date?
No. I do want to check that one out. That one's got Olga Kurylenko?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do want to check that out.
It's a Jesse Johnson action movie, so I want to watch it now. I said I didn't want to turn this into a Jesse Johnson is amazing podcast episode, but fuck, he's amazing.
I am becoming a believer after this episode.
Same.
After the films that I've seen of his, I'm just like, well, minus The Doorman. But
nobody likes that movie.
Nobody does. Except Vandenberg and Johnson.
They released it twice.
Yeah. One for each.
Yeah.
One for each person that liked it.
Well, I'll give them the pass because it's their first.
No, Boudica, Swords and Sandals. I think, is it Swords and Sandals?
I think it's more the British Isles, isn't it?
Well, I've heard it's like a reverse Centurion.
Oh.
Mm.
I've seen that movie. That's a good movie. Okay.
Also starring Olga Kurylenko.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. I have the DVD.
It's not super good.
It's not. Neil Marshall doing some great work with Game of Thrones and then just blowing it after he gets another chance.
Well, he's also one of those directors who I think he said, like, I just want, give me anything without studio notes or interference from higher up. Because he has had some trouble with stuff like that. I mean, I think it was his Hellboy movie where I read it on.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, that one.
Not the David Harbour one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Not the one by one of the guys who did Crank. I heard that one is actually, it's okay.
Okay. So, yeah. Any final thoughts on Dominique Vandenberg?
Great physical performer. I don't think he's faltered in his later years. I mean, he's still going.
I mean, you could say maybe even that his best work is at the end of his career so far.
He seems to just be getting better and better. I mean, I am a fan.
Yeah, he's a good physical performer. He doesn't always have the right charisma for his roles, but that's okay. I mean, if he can like beat somebody's eyeballs out, you're okay in my book. So he's got what it takes to look like a convincing action star. So I'll give him a thumbs up.
At least he's not Frank Zegarino.
Yes. Oh, and I almost forgot, because I was going by his like IMDb page, but he's also in something called For the Love of Money.
Yeah, he's in it for like 10 seconds.
I heard him talk about this, like Jesse Johnson came up to him and said, "Hey Dom, you wanna kill James Caan?" He's like, what did he do? No, for a movie.
Yeah, he just barges into James Caan's Tel Aviv apartment and guns him down. Probably for the best.
Nobody likes The Godfather.
But that's wonderful. Wonderful films. You know, well, not all of them, but most of them. Right, Skeleton Man and The Doorman would make for a very interesting double feature. That's all I'm going to say.
No.
Yeah, he also just seems like a guy who does what he wants. Like, he talked about some bad experiences on Gangs of New York and Beowulf. So now he just, you know, I want to make movies with my buddy, Jesse Johnson. So that's what I'll do. And if somebody asks me to be in a movie with David Carradine, I'll do it. I like that attitude.
Yeah, it's admirable.
He's got a real samurai sort of approach to life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, ironically, he's from Belgium and he's been a Legionnaire, but he's never seen the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie Legionnaire.
What? That's a great movie. No.
It is.
I'm not going to lie. I haven't seen that yet. I have the Blu-ray.
Ooh.
It's one of his best direct-to-video films.
I can tell from the look of it.
From the director of Rambo 3.
Yes. Ooh. Peter MacDonald, ooh, right? Is that his name?
Peter MacDonald, yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
It's legit. It's a great war movie. Well, great. How are we defining great here? Okay.
Any eyeballs great get punched out?
No, it's not that graphic. But it's great entertainment. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. DC from Oz is in it. Oh boy, I gotta check this out.
Right after Triple Threat.
Yeah, I've been on my action pilgrimage this month. You know, trying to get some blind spots for the top 250.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which may be already ended by the time this one comes out, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much it for Dominic Vandenberg. I mean, I hope he just keeps making movies with Jesse Johnson. Honestly, the stuff they do together is... And I've not seen The Doorman. So the stuff I've seen them do together, fantastic. More of it, please.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, avoid The Doorman unless you want to see the early, I guess, development of these two, see the beginning of their pairing, but
their origin story.
Yeah, the origin story, literally. Minus the ending where he like shoots 14 people at the end.
Well, we don't know. That's not true. That could be true.
That could be true. He's definitely that is a man who has shed blood. Right. He's gonna enter the small but quite intimidating hall of AOBG. Hall of Famers who have actually been lethal in real life.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yes, like Audie Murphy and who else?
Oh, God. Was
Jimmy Wang Yu?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
The gangster himself?
Yeah.
I was thinking about Matthew Broderick, but he isn't in the Hall of Fame. I remember Stein talking about how he killed somebody while driving in Ireland or something.
Oh my God.
That's one kill. We just have to keep going.
Yeah.
Charles Bronson. I know he fought in World War II. Him and
Lee Marvin.
Yeah, Lee Marvin. Yeah. They've probably stacked some bodies.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I should say it, but DC.
What now?
Oh. Is that supposed to mean something?
David Carradine.
District of Columbia.
Oh. Yeah.
Accidental, yeah. But, I don't know. We'll never know.
Well, that has been our episode on Dominic Vandenberg. I'm glad I got to do a little bit of a dive into his filmography, because I was pleasantly surprised.
Mm-hmm.
And not quite sure yet what we're going to do next week, but we'll be back.
Yeah.
See you then.
All right. See ya.
Yeah. It's been a pleasure. See you around.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.